Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher, and today we are beginning another message in our authority series that Gary began a couple weeks ago. These messages are from some of our recent workshops last fall at some of our homeschool workshops for the families who are part of Walkersville Christian Family Schools. Today, Gary begins a message about obedience and the child's role in understanding God's command to obey. With that, we'll take you to Gary Cox on a message called God-Centered Obedience.
So one of the things that I have, I've boiled down the workshops this year to one-word titles. And although I have, it's somewhere in here along the way you'll find it, I don't usually have one word. Today's key word for the workshop is obey. Oh no. That's all I ever hear about. All I'm ever told is, please obey. Obey your parents. So we're going to talk about obey. Now, I have a little longer subtitle. If you read your newsletter, you'll know that subtitle today is, Don't Grieve Your Daddy. Give Him Some Joy. How many of you ever sat down and thought about that proposition? That ought to be a motivational part of your personal life as you pray. And as you live, don't grieve your daddy. Give him some joy. That's an interesting one. Now, you and I know that all of our earthly daddies are not perfect, which makes the problem, for some of us. So we're focusing on a biblical family this year, treasuring dad, and having a vision for giving dad joy. So if you have your Bible, you might want to turn to Hebrews chapter 13, and I have a question to ponder. Do you give your dad grief? I have a question. Anybody here ever ask that question about themselves? Wow. It's a very important, very, very worthy question. Now, I'm reading from Hebrews 13, verse 17, and the scripture says, obey them that have the rule over you. So I'm narrowing that down for your children's sake, to your dads. Obey them that, and of course, obviously, that means mom, too. But we're all under authority of some kind or another. So obey those that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I wonder how many hours of griping conversation that has endured through the ages as children gripe about their parents and wish they treated them a little better. Not ever recognizing the fact that in spiritual reality, happiness in a home is a two-way street. And if you'd like to have a happier home, you have no idea how important you are in the process of making that so. I've been a dad for a good while. I've been a pastor for a good while, and had lots of chance to interact with families. That's really been my life, which I'm thrilled and blessed to be a part of. But I guarantee you, the person with the biggest gripe is usually the person that has never thought of the obligation they have to do their part in order to make a positive contribution to the family. So just look at the text. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself. That's a very interesting structure. What's the opposite of obeying and submitting? It's disobeying and resisting. Having an argument. And unfortunately, it's probably not a very good lesson to say, don't talk back to your parents. But that's what that is. Talking back, trying to establish an alternative reality that's going to rule the home. It's going to rule the hour. And the very nature of that introduces conflict of your own making. Now, when you look at this snapshot, the key phrase is the next phrase. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. The key to this passage and the key to obedience of any kind and submission of any kind is understanding the source of the authority. Understanding the source of the authority. If, as the flesh imagines, if it's just a battle of wills, who can outsmart and outwit and outwill the other, and that's what reigns in terms of truth and what we're going to do and what's it going to look like. If that's all that matters, then authority is something that you should work very hard to get yourself out from under as soon as possible so you can boss everybody around. And may the biggest brat win. And if there's no source of authority, that's all that is. And frankly, that's what Satan plays on us when we are provoked. Who are you? I had a pretty large family, and we kids didn't always get along real well. And one of the things that would happen in our home was a child, a sibling, would take authority on themselves under the false understanding that authority is just something to be a big boss and boss people around with. So one of my siblings would come. The younger ones really love to do it to the older ones. They come in and say, blah, 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 blah. Do this, do that. And it was with the spirit of command. They got that spirit of command right down. And we siblings would always say, who said so? Because we knew just instinctively the child had no authority, you know, bossing me around. But we were just a little bit concerned that mama had sent him and we didn't want to disobey mama. So we would try to find out who was behind the authority. And when those words rang out, mother said so, the most we could do at that point was say, well, I'm sure she didn't say it like that. But we were sure to get on to it, whatever mother had said so. So I want us to think about this. Children, this is the key to victory. I remember at Roxbury many years ago. Do you remember Russ Miller, his little boy? What was his name?
Yes.
What was his name? The boy, the youngest boy.
Russell was his name.
Russell Miller's youngest son was named Russell? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, all right. Okay. Well, anyway, one of our board members' sons, young guy, he was probably somewhere around sixth grade. He might have been closer to seventh, but anyway, that's pretty close. So I'm speaking on this question of obedience at Roxbury, and after the session is over, he marches up to the front, plants his feet, crosses his arms, and his dad had encouraged him to come and ask me and said, "What do you mean, obey your parents?" My dad's parents said, "Don't believe in Jesus. And if he obeyed them, then he'd go to hell." He was thinking and comprehending. And so here's the key. This is a little test. I'm not going to wait a long time to get an answer, but can anybody remember someone in the Bible who rebelled and claimed that it was necessary to rebel? Can anybody remember an account? And it's in the New Testament. It's in Acts. It's by the author of 1 Peter, who said, "Obey, submit yourselves to all authorities for the Lord's sake." So there's an account. Remember in Acts, the chief priest captured the apostles. They had healed and were preaching Jesus, and they dragged them before the Sanhedrin and said, "Don't you ever speak in that name again." They were in authority. Should you obey authorities? It says right here, obey them that rule over you. And Peter wrote those very words himself in his little epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2. What did Peter say? Well, you figure it out, whether we ought to obey God rather than man. So the construct, and this is what I told that young Miller son years ago, I said, "Well, just remember one thing. If we forget the source of authority, we'll get confused in thinking about obedience. But never forget the source of authority." The Bible says to children in Ephesians, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And so when we're dealing with obedience, I want to encourage you children. I want to encourage us parents. It's not about the parent being in charge. It's about God being in charge, and the parents have an obligation. They watch for your souls as those that must give an account. We are not in charge. We are under God's authority. And I know for me, especially when it would come to something like giving a spanking, I didn't like giving spankings. When my child looked me in the eye and said, "How come you're hitting me?" I would say, "Well, I fear God. And the Bible tells me that if I love my children, I'm going to diligently correct them, and using the rod is appropriate at times. And so let's just pray right now, because I don't know how God's going to use the rod, but let's pray and ask God to bless the rod for you so that you might learn what it means to trust God and obey Him in all things." See, mom and dad, if we're just getting parents to obey for our convenience, that's not enough. That's not enough. And your convenience may actually be inappropriate, because we're called to a sacrificial living. We're called to have children obey with an understanding, a continual training. They need to find God in the circumstance and obey Him. And God makes it really easy. He starts with parents and children to learn that obedience. And I dare say, failure to teach children to obey in the home so that they're looking for God to find out what it means to obey God at that moment, that's the greatest tragedy for a whole culture. Because if those kids get let loose in society and they don't have a clue of what it means to search their heart, to search the scriptures, to search the mind of the Lord in whatever way is possible through counsel or what have you, what does it mean, Lord, to serve you, to please you in this matter? If we don't look for that, then what are we left with? we're left with our best guess, and the person with the better argument confidently imagines he has the best guess, and we start conforming ourselves to everybody's imagination, and in no way paying attention to that simple need of the child's heart. Am I obeying God on his terms? Or am I just seeking to have my own will or to prevent somebody else from imposing their will on me? And then the rest of it says that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Why would it be with joy and not with grief? A godly parent knows that they don't have a choice but to honor God in the home and in the situation. And so they must obey the Lord themselves, that they must set the standard of the Lord. So that's a firmness behind them that requires them to do their role, to take care of their role. But if the child in front of them is just as firm in resolve of refusing to place themselves under, then they have the intensity of the battle that's totally different from just getting along in life and functioning like you ought. Now you might say, well, and my kids did. Well, how do we know you're following God? I want to be sure that I'm not disobeying God when I obey you. I said, well, let me be perfectly clear. If there's anything that I'm doing that's disobedient to God, I desire to be shown that for real. I do. That's the first point. The second point is the response of your heart is always first, find out what the Lord wants you to do, to have a heart of submission, to have a heart of readiness to obey. And so if you have a genuine, legitimate question, train yourself to respond with integrity. And I would teach my kids, I think you've probably heard me tell the anecdote before, teach them to say, Dad, I'm ready to do whatever you say, but I have a question. May I ask a question? And create the context of readiness, on the one hand, to do God's will, and integrity of asking a question where needed. So we're talking about giving your dad grief. And it says here, they may do it with joy and not with grief. Think about that. What would it look like for you to give your dad joy in the context of the home? And I'm not ignoring you moms when I'm saying giving your dad grief, because husbands and wives are one. So whenever it talks about fatherhood, it's always talking about the authority that moms share in dad. But what is it? What is that grief? And what I said earlier, and I'll just repeat it here, there's a way to do something that causes joy, and there's a way to do something that causes grief. Now, in the midst of one of my grievous moments, I did it more than once, but in the midst of those moments, I've often told my kids, you don't understand what grief you're causing me. You're worried about and wanting to do all this blah, 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 blah. You're not even giving me the privilege or the joy to even entertain blah, 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 blah. Because right now I see before me a stubborn and rebellious child who's at risk of totally going astray if that doesn't get corrected. And so my whole focus is the alarm of your stubborn and rebellious heart. I said, what you don't know is, you don't know the power you have to make me happy and to get all this, the blah, 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 that you would like because of your attitude. Think of this. If every morning I go outside, I have to move this big obstacle from behind my car to get out of the driveway. There it is again. Who put it there? That's frustrating. But when I get out one morning and there's no obstacle, oh, this is so nice. I said, when you're that obstacle, then you create grief. Why don't you try a new trick? Why don't you say in your heart, God, it's you I want to obey, and I'm struggling, and maybe I do have a rebellious heart. But I think that what my dad's asking me is going to kill me. It's going to ruin my life forever. I'm never going to have another happy moment in the whole history of life because of my mean dad. And I just told my kids, go ahead, tell God anything you want. He can listen. He can handle any of your complaints. Just don't tell your siblings. And then ask the Lord. Said, Lord, my dad's under your authority. I think he needs some help. Would you help him? Would you fix him? And the reality is often what would happen, and I warn my kids, you stop this grievous behavior, and you get a different dad. I have the liberty to think of something different. And so it would happen that somebody would remove the grievous reaction, and I would immediately feel the joy of the pleasure of that joy, and put me in a different frame of mind. And on at least a couple occasions, I remember distinctly where what I had said no to, that joyful relief that I had, opened up the capacity for Mom and I to talk and get perspective and recognize that that little thing that Johnny wanted to do was just fine. And so finding Johnny coming back, now you know I don't have any kids named Johnny, so I'm trying to talk generically. Johnny coming back and saying, well, Mom and I were praying about it, and we decided that it'd be all right to do that. And to see Johnny go, I don't believe it. I did just what you said. I stopped fighting you, and I went out, and I just prayed, God, change Dad's mind, please. But see, what was learned was the privilege of appealing to God, because your whole life, you'll never lose that privilege. To this very hour, my only claim is my appeal to God, help in this time of need. Lead, guide, direct. And I still need that help. As I'm gazing out the window yesterday and realizing, wow, God's got a lot more thoughts than I have. And I need to rest my case, rest my weariness in Him. Now, turn your Bibles, if you please, to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Now, I'm going to read and chatter a little bit. I'm going to try to hurry up. I have a special testimony. Today we have Rachel Wilson. She's on her way back to the mission field. Sally says you don't have to open your Bible. You have it on your notes if you have it, which is fine either way. So I'm trying to reserve a little bit of my time for Rachel to give a little testimony. So I'm hurrying. But I just want to get our attention here, okay? So you're the king and you think you're in charge, right? No, you're not in charge. You're under God's authority. This is a story of King Saul, and it has some of the most powerful teaching on obedience in all the Bible. And so here's what we see. Who's Samuel? Well, Samuel was God's prophet. Samuel was the one that brought the word of the Lord to the people and the word of the Lord to the king. And let us be fully cognizant of the fact that we have the word of the Lord, and we are called to put ourselves clearly under the command of God by listening and obeying and hearing the word of the Lord, which word can be as simple as children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Always appeal to the word of the Lord. So Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee king. Now hearken to his voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And then he gives a command for King Saul to wipe out the Amalekites. And what he says to them is, utterly destroy all they have and spare them not. And he gives very explicit instructions. Now, here's the point. King Saul is king. He can do anything he wants to, right? Wrong. There's no authority that exists on earth except it's of God. And all that authority goes back to God, and whoever's in authority must give an account. That's what we saw in the last verse. They watch for your souls of those that must give an account. So there is no such thing as an authority that's just ripshod and running by itself. Everyone gives an account. But what happened to Saul? So Saul gathers up an army, and he tells people that were kind to Israel to get out of the way. And he goes and he fights the Amalekites. And then look at what it says, verse 8. He took Agag alive, utterly destroyed all the people. But Saul spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, they utterly destroyed. So, quick, simple question. Did Saul obey the word of the Lord? He didn't. He obeyed it mostly, right? He killed all the people but one person. And he killed and he wiped out everything else except the best of the sheep and the goats and the lambs and the whatevers. So that's his mindset. Now let's pay attention as we go forward. Next point. Verse 10, the word of the Lord comes back to Samuel. See, accountability means you're going to answer for what you do when you're in authority, and you're going to answer for what you do when you're under authority. You have that responsibility. So Samuel, who didn't like his role at this place, being Saul's guardian, as it were, he rose to meet Saul, and he went to a place, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I perform the commandment of the Lord." What an interesting statement. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, what can we draw from this? Because children, this is what happens when you use your own judgment about what obedience means. When you treasure the word of the Lord, you treasure God's authorities over you as in that place of authority by the word of the Lord, you pay attention to the very smallest detail of obedience. What did Samuel say? "I've done the commandment of the Lord." And he says, "What's the bleeding of the sheep mean in my ears? What's the bleeding of the sheep?" And look at what Saul said. This is remarkable. "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." So, we did it. We obeyed. We did it. We saved these sheep. Now, let's continue reading. So Samuel says to Saul, "Stay, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night." And the king, blinded by his own disobedient, rebellious manner of heart, said, "Say on." Samuel said, "When you were little in your sight, were you not made king over Israel? And God has anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a journey and said, 'Go and destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are consumed.'" Verse 19, "Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord?"
Well, some sobering thoughts from Gary in a message called God-Centered Obedience, encouraging us to take a biblical perspective in a bigger view of obeying the Lord. We hope that you've learned a lot from this message. You can hear this message along with other messages in our authority series at WTHU.org. If you go to the audio vault and look for the Family by Design banner, you'll find all previous episodes from this broadcast. In the meantime, you're always welcome to contact us. Email any thoughts or ideas or suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the program at radio@wcfs.edu. radio@wcfs.edu. Next week, we will continue our series on authority as Gary will bring a message about what to do when what your authority says conflicts with what God wants you to do. Join us next time here on Family by Design as we treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.